And good morning, everyone. Welcome into God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. This is a paid program from the church. Therefore, the opinions of myself or Mr. Jerry Scott are not necessarily those of WSIP Radio Fork Broadcasting, but they are, however, our opinions as we interpret from the Holy Scripture.
Good morning, Timotheus.
Good morning, brother.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Up for the entire day, are
hopefully,
you?
Hopefully.
Good for you. So am I. I plan to be up for the whole day. If I should fall down, would you be there to pick me up?
Right? I will. If I'm aware of it, I'll be right there, brother.
Okay, brother. Appreciate it so much. Hey, you know, folks could give us a call this morning if they were of a mind to.
They could. Yep. They need a phone number.
How would they do that?
They would call us at 789-0318, 789-0318. Or if it's easier, a little more convenient, they could email us at godspointofview@yahoo.com. That's godspointofview@yahoo.com, and you are monitoring that live.
Yes. We're high tech here. We're high tech. Hey, we got a question right off the bat.
All right.
Yeah. John 17:17 is going to be the text we're going to use in just a moment. But here's the question: what does the word sanctification mean? What does sanctification mean? Jesus said in John 17. By the way, Timotheus, he prayed. Or he spoke preached the 14th, 15th, and 16th chapters of John. And the 17th chapter he prayed. Now, let's listen in to Jesus pray to the Father. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify. Sanctification. Let's get the phone, then we'll come back to that, all right?
Let's go to the phone lines. Good. Why don't you get the buttons here? Yep. Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View. Your question or comment, please?
Yes, I have a question for Jerry.
Hey, brother. Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm doing well.
I'd like to hear your opinions on and doctrine on the rapture theory, and I'll... get off here and turn my radio up and listen to you.
Bless your heart. Thank you so much. Great big subject. Important subject. And we'll take a look at that in just a moment. You hang right with us, and we're going to get back to that. Sanctification. What does it mean? Jesus prayed for that. Sanctify them through thy truth.
Mm-hmm.
Thy word is truth.
Mm-hmm.
There's another big word, Timotheus, $3, maybe $5 word, called justification.
Mm. They got those shuns going on today.
Yeah, justification, or the word justified.
Mm-hmm.
Justified, never done it. When God forgives our sin, he forgives us instantaneously.
Yeah.
So, justification is, it just takes a moment. Sanctification takes a lifetime.
Yeah.
So what is sanctification? Let's look at two or three things quickly, and then we'll go back to the caller. Here's an Old Testament text, Timotheus. For I am the Lord your God. This is Leviticus 11:44. For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves. Now what does it mean? And ye shall be holy. For I am holy.
That goes right in conjunction with what Jesus prayed.
Absolutely.
From the Old Testament to the New Testament.
Absolutely.
Just want to make that point.
I appreciate that. here's another from the New. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. What is the will of God? Here's the rest of the passage. That ye should abstain from fornication.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you're going to be sanctified for the Lord, you're going to be a sanctified, set apart, and that's what the word means, set apart, mm-hmm. sanctified Christian, you've got to abstain from fornication. That means if you're not married, you got to stay away from premarital sex.
Now you're getting in some sticky stuff.
I'm getting in some deep weeds.
You are.
And I've got a report here from in just a moment. I'll share with you and the audience, the listening audience, about how people view that very subject now, fornication.
Not such a big deal as it used
not
to be.
Not such a big deal.
So, to the culture.
To the culture.
Yeah, well, let's add that.
Always been a big deal to God.
Yeah.
This is the will of God. Someone said to me the other day, I don't know what the will of God is in every area of my life. Well, here's an area that's clear. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. So it means that if you're a fornicator and you come to Christ, you become a Christian, then you don't go back to fornicating.
It's all about repentance. It's,
sure, and a change of life. Repentance is a change of attitude with a result of a change of direction. So this same passage would apply to anything else that you're doing that's contrary to the will of God. As you grow in grace and knowledge, you become more sanctified, more holy. Now let's get even more specific. There's a positional sanctification. A positional sanctification means that in the eyes of God, your position has changed. You're no longer a citizen of the kingdom of the evil one. You're now a citizen of the kingdom of God. Positionally, you've changed. My residence is 416 College, but positionally, I live in the heavenlies.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a verse, 1 Corinthians 6:11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified.
Mm-hmm.
You're set apart for God,
mm-hmm.
but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So we when we come to Christ, we then are sanctified by the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10, verse 10. So it's positionally. There's a position change, Timotheus.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the second thing about it. It's a progressive sanctification.
Always in a process.
Always
working to be better.
Never finished with it.
Never finished. Until you take your last breath.
And guys are like that because they're always wanting one project to another. They got to go to one project to the next. So you're never finished with this project.
Yeah.
As a Christian continually yields his heart, her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, God will set them apart by his grace, and they'll become more like Jesus day after day after day, week after week after week. Month after month after month, year after year after year, that's sanctification. It's a progressive thing. Here's 2 Peter 3, Timotheus, verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're to grow and to develop. What is sanctification? Sanctification means that you're looking more like Jesus every day of your life. And then there's what's called a perpetual sanctification. And the perpetual sanctification is that one day, one of these days, we're going to continually be looking more like our Lord Jesus Christ. People talk about Christians being hypocrites. I'm a recovering hypocrite myself.
Well,
hello, my name is Jerry. I'm a recovering hypocrite. We all understand that we've got to do better.
Yeah, to some degree, I think we're all hypocrites.
We are.
Yeah.
Because
we're human.
We're human. We don't want to be. We're trying to do better.
We're trying.
And that's what sanctification is.
And let me throw something in at you real quick. If you're hungry, if you went all day and you haven't stopped and you haven't eaten, you're hungry, and you know you're going to a banquet or something that night, and you walk in the room and you're talking to people and you're not really thinking about that food, but you walk in and your eyes see that.
Yes, sir.
You have a biological response that my stomach says, I want that food.
Sure.
You know.
Sure.
It's uncontrollable. You don't have control. Now you've got the control whether you go eat from that table.
Or how much. Yeah.
So what I'm trying to tell you is we're hypocrites, but then when we realize that we're hypocrites, it's our choice to do something about it.
Yeah.
Whether we go to the buffet table, whether we eat, how much we eat, that's our choice, but we can't control some natures of our human body.
We cannot.
Biologically, it just happens.
When we say we're hypocrites, what we're saying is that there's one part of us that always is going to be tempted by the flesh. And we'll think about doing this or that, but we realize then, wait a minute, I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
I'm a child of God. I can't do that.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're all recovering from the flesh, and we're going to be that way until the Lord Jesus returns.
And I don't know if you do, but, and I love your advice that you gave. It has helped me tremendously. Wait for the second thought, because sometimes somebody will ask me for something. I don't think about it like I should, and I'll give an answer, and I'll walk away, and 15 minutes later, that second thought comes to me. You were wrong.
Yeah.
And you hadn't. So people could view that as being, well, I can't believe you gave that answer, you know, and because I didn't think about it, it's fleshly. It's just what we do. So I don't mean to get you off track.
No, I'm not off track.
But another point I want to make, Jerry, we have listeners that are sitting there saying sanctified, and we're above them. We're talking above their heads. And what we're trying to say is, when you're sanctified, you're set apart from the world, from the culture. And you, Jerry talked about fornication to start with. When you realize that you want to be a follower of Christ, it's not going to be such an easy path in the world, but the Lord has sanctified us, pulled us out, and we're different. We are set apart from every other human that is on the world, doing however they want to do, live whatever the way they want to live, do the things with no worry about tomorrow. That's what we're talking about. Am I correct?
You are correct.
Just want to make sure that people understand the babies out there that are maybe Christians or people that are not Christians. Well, what are you talking about setting apart? You're better than we are, and those kind of things. That's not what we're talking about.
We're not talking about being better than anybody.
Yeah, we're just
talking about reaching a point in our lives in which we realize that we are sinful beings.
Amen.
And to say that you're not, the Bible says clearly that if we say we have no sin, we're a liar.
Yeah.
And the truth is not in us.
Yeah.
And so we're trying to live up to our calling. We'll never reach it here.
Yeah.
That's where we jokingly say we're recovering hypocrites. but in a sense, we are always striving to be something that the flesh won't let us be.
Yeah.
And we'll stumble, we'll make mistakes, of course. But sanctification means that I'm better to sanctify. Timothy, if you came over to the house and you wanted to have steak for dinner, and I said, well, I don't have any steak, but okay, I'll go get some, and that was good. Now I got to sit down in an easy chair, but that's my easy chair you're sitting in, Timothy, but okay, I'll let you sit in it. Then you want getting ready to go to bed. I didn't bring my toothbrush. I'll use yours. No, you won't use my toothbrush. I'll feed you and I'll let you sit in my chair.
But you're going to sleep with some dirty teeth.
But yeah, because you're not going to use my toothbrush. Why? My toothbrush is set apart for me.
Yeah, it's sanctified.
It's sanctified. Christians are set apart for God.
Yeah.
And whatever separates that close relationship is sin. And so we talked recently about Luke 9, verse 23. Jesus said, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself.
Mm-hmm.
That is a surrender.
Mm-hmm.
You have to surrender your will to God. Take up his cross daily. That's sacrifice. You have to sacrifice for Christ. And follow me. And that's obedience. And that, in the nutshell, really is sanctification.
There you go.
It's changing from the way you once lived to the way that is holy. Go back to the very first verse, Leviticus 17. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God said.
And for the culture to look at Christian people and the way we live, our thoughts, our opinions of stuff that are from Scripture, the Bible says that we are to be a peculiar people.
We are.
And to the culture, we are very that. So if somebody calls you peculiar or you're just out there, whatever, that, the Lord tells us to be happy, to be glad in that.
Absolutely.
Because that's kind of affirmation that we're on the right track. It sounds strange.
Count it all. Well, it does sound strange, but that's Jesus.
That's Jesus.
Jesus is always countercultural.
Always.
For instance, he said, do you want to be rich?
Yeah.
You first got to be poor.
Yeah.
If you read the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5, 6 and 7, but if you just read the Beatitudes,
mm-hmm.
every bit of that is countercultural.
Yeah.
Blessed are the poor in spirit.
Yeah.
Poor in spirit. What does that mean? It's a whole new way of thinking.
It is.
And this culture doesn't think that way.
No.
Does not think that way. Just one final tidbit of information about that subject, and we'll move on to the rapture. Millennials. The millennial age group is 18 to 34. And we mentioned God's will with respect to fornication, that you abstain from fornication. This is countercultural. You talk about a countercultural subject. The current state of sex and dating and singles in this country.
Mm-hmm.
This comes from an annual singles survey by Match and Research Now, two organizations that do this research annually. And here's what they found. Millennials, that's 18 to 34, are 48% more likely to have sex before the first date.
Before?
Before. That's what the report says. Secondly, 28% view sex as a way to decide whether they love someone.
Yeah.
And this goes up to 73% of all men think that way.
Wow.
And thirdly and finally, almost 70% of singles approve a polyamorous relationship. And that's just a sexual relationship with a deep connection to one or more partners. Mm-hmm. So this is the way the culture thinks.
Mm-hmm.
The millennial, 18 to 34, there's many other things about the survey, but I share that because it's in contrast to everything Jesus stands for.
Yeah.
And people find it difficult to live a sanctified life. Let me tell you something, friend, before we go further. If you're not a Christian, you can't live a sanctified life. If you're not a child of God, if you don't have an indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God, you don't have any help. You're fighting a battle
on your own.
On your own, and you cannot win. You need Jesus. You need to find a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. You need to get right with God, and you need to then start growing in grace and knowledge in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And those demons that we all deal with can be dealt with.
Christian or not.
Absolutely.
Because us Christians deal with the same demons.
Sure we do.
And Satan's going to come a little harder after us,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, he does. He absolutely does. So. We had a call here a little while ago, and I thank the caller for being patient with us. It was important to the person that asked about the sanctification, just as the rapture is important to the caller. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Bible talks about, I believe, the coming of the Lord Jesus, not the first coming. The first coming is when he came as a baby. When we talk mm-hmm. about the coming of the Lord Jesus, we're not talking about that coming. We're talking about the first and second coming. And the first coming is the rapture, the context of the rapture. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul talks about, I believe, what that's going to look like. 1 Thessalonians 4. And then I'll come back to what time? 10 till. I think we got enough time to give a brief overview. Paul is writing to the Thessalonian church. The Thessalonian church is upset because their family members are dying, and they expected the Lord to return at any moment.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do that so much these days.
No.
We don't think about as much as we should about the Lord coming. He's going to surprise a lot of us, I fear.
Well, the indications from the scripture.
Yeah. And so in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, brothers, he's writing out, remember, in response to the, they said, what's going to happen to our loved ones? They've died.
Yeah.
So he's writing, telling them this, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep. That's the favorite way the Bible describes a Christian's death, falling asleep. Or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus, did you catch that, Timotheus, who have no hope.
No
the rest
hope.
Of men have. If you're not a Christian, you have no hope, my friend.
You're not
friend.
Sanctified.
Right. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. Boy, there's that basic fundamental fact of the gospel. And rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. In other words, our loved ones, your loved ones are coming back with Jesus. Coming back for Jesus when? According to the Lord's own word. We tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven. This is what we believe to be the first coming, with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. They're coming out of the graves.
Mm-hmm.
After that, we, which are still alive, and our left will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words.
Now, it's very important, I think, too, the we.
Yeah.
Who's he talking about? We.
Christian people.
There you go.
Christian people. So here's what we believe about the rapture. We believe the Lord will come back, as is indicated in 1 Thessalonians 4 and some other passages. We had time. We could develop that. And we may at some future time. But he is coming back. He is removing the church from this earth.
Yep.
And I believe that's Revelation chapter 4. And I believe it's Revelation 5 is a picture of us in heaven around the throne of God. Chapter 6 through chapter 19 begins the tribulation on this earth.
In Revelation.
Mm-hmm. This earth will go through such tribulation that many will die. Millions of people will die. The church will not be here.
Holding back evil.
Absolutely.
It'll be, Satan will have his reign.
Sure. And so after 7 years of going through these bowls, these seals, these bowls, these vials of punishment, of just untold, unheard of, almost inexplicable. There's your good word, Timothy, it's inexplicable. A disaster that's going on the earth, not just the earth, but the oceans, everything. God is in the process getting ready to purge the earth and to renew it after 7 years and after all the nations of the world attempt to destroy the little nation of Israel. God will come back and bring with those, that's Revelation 19, bring with those spirits. And he's going to destroy the evil that exists. And he's going then to set up, we believe, an earthly kingdom that will last for 1,000 years. We believe that is speaking of a literal kingdom. I know it's not believed by everybody. Let me be careful to say, if you don't believe that, I'm not judging your eternal destiny. This is not a salvation issue. This is one of those areas that requires a lot of study and a lot of in-depth prayer. I've studied this for over 40 years. And you know what, Timotheus? I could be wrong. But I don't think I am at this point in my life. I think there's going to be a rapture of the church, a catching away. Someone said rapture is not even mentioned in the Bible. The word rapture is not, but the effect of the rapture is found right there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And he talks about the being caught up.
Mm-hmm.
Caught up. That's the word right there. In the Latin, the word is raptiro.
Mm-hmm.
Caught away with great emotion.
Mm-hmm.
We believe this is the church. We believe that after 7 years, we'll return. God will destroy his enemies. A kingdom will be set up, a millennial reign.
Of 1,000 years.
Yes, of 1,000 years.
In which time Satan will be bound.
Satan will be bound for that period of time. And at the end of it, he will be loosed again. Now, someone asked me the other day, why is he going to be loosed again? I believe that there will be people who will survive the tribulation. And they will enter the millennial reign. And they will marry, they'll procreate, they'll have children. The Bible says that it will be like it was when God first created man. You know, if you read the account in Genesis, man lived hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's going to take place. That's the period of time, I believe, where the wolf and the lamb will get along, the lion and all the animals, the child will be next to the adder's nest and won't have to fear. When has that time ever existed since sin entered the world? It never has. But it will. And then those people that have come into the kingdom in fleshly bodies, we're there, of course, in spiritual bodies because we've come back with the Lord.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. How do we fit in with the picture? Those that have already passed that went, was caught up with the Lord.
We've got spiritual bodies now.
And then we're going to intermingle between the millennial
and someone said, well, how can that be? Intermingle spiritual with physical. Well, we do it every day now.
How do you sit beside of a lion without fear?
There you go. I mean, we interact with lost people every day of our lives. We're trying to be spiritual as God would have us to be, as we're sanctified each day, made more like Jesus. And we mix and mingle with lost people all the time. And those people who are in physical bodies will have an opportunity to make a decision. That's why Satan will be loosed.
Mm.
Because he'll tempt them, he'll try to get them to try to get their soul. And they'll have a choice to make. And that choice, of course, has always been and always will be the Lord Jesus Christ. That, in a nutshell, is what I believe about the rapture of the church and the tribulation, the millennial reign. And after the 1,000 years, then he's going to completely burn this world up. Second Peter chapter 3 talks about the fact that he will destroy this world. He will actually destroy is a harsh word. He will completely renovate it through fire. You know, the first time he destroyed the world with water.
Yeah.
But fire will be used the next time, and fire purifies some.
It
gets all the corrupting elements out of gold or silver.
Yep.
And just like that, fire will prevail, and we'll have a new heaven and a new earth, the Bible teaches.
The Lord is not a dictator. He does not force anybody.
No,
and everybody gets to choose.
Everybody gets to choose. There's a lot more we could say. Don't have time to really go into all of that this morning, but that in the nutshell is what I believe. Now, I didn't always believe that. You know, there's four views.
Mm-hmm.
There's the premillennial reign.
Mm-hmm.
That means Christ will come back before the thousand-year reign. There's the post-millennial reign. After the millennial reign, Christ will come back.
Now you're talking about millennial or the tribulation?
No, post-millennial reign.
Okay.
That man is getting better and better, and once he reaches a point of perfection, then Christ will come.
Okay.
Man's not getting better and better. Man's getting worse and worse.
Yeah.
And then there's the amillennial, A-W. Anytime you see that prefix, it means no. For instance, atheist. A theist is one who believes in God. An atheist, just add the little article A, atheist doesn't believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
A moral person is trying to live right. An amoral person doesn't care.
Yeah.
So the amillennial person doesn't believe in the thousand-year reign at all. They believe that we're actually in a thousand-year reign symbolically right now, and that thousand years is as long as Christ sees fit to delay. So you got the premillennial, postmillennial, amillennial. I'm kind of the panmillennial. Panmillennial says it'll all pan out in the end. So,
and then there's different views of the rapture of the church with tribulation. In aspect of the tribulation. Am I correct about that?
That is correct. Some believe. See how difficult this subject is.
It gets sticky.
Some believe that Christians will go through the tribulation.
Yeah. Half of it. Some believe that they'll go through all of it.
Yeah. So, yeah. All kinds of different views. I don't think we will, and I don't think for a lot of reasons, but the first reason is found right here in 1 Thessalonians 5. Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come as the thief in the night, while people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, the church, Thessalonian church, are not in darkness so that day should surprise you like a thief. You're all sons of the light and sons of the day. We're going to be delivered from the wrath that is to come. And I think that wrath he's talking about is the tribulation period.
And that is where we come up with hope.
Amen. And my friends, if you don't have it today, your only hope is in Jesus, God's Son, and the death, burial, and resurrection of the same. God bless you today.
I'd like to thank you for joining us for God's Point of View today, presented by the Highland Church of Christ. We'd like to invite you to services at the church. Sunday school gets underway Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m., Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m., Sunday evenings at 7 p.m., Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and don't forget about looking to Jesus Sunday morning at 7 a.m. Again, thanks for joining us today for another edition of God's Point of View.